this thing. No title again.
And I did not be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check, check. Check, check. Didn't sound quite right. Let me adjust the volume here a little bit on the earbuds. Okay. Ooh, there we are. Scarborough Dude talking at you on the Saturday night. December 3rd, I think. I'm in my driveway, in my road trek. I have a new system now. Got to share this with you. Remember how I used to drive my Mazda 3 to the GO station parking lot, not hop on a 116 or whatever the other one is that goes along Eglinton, Daisy Kennedy Station. And then when I came home, I'd do the same thing in reverse, get on the subway at Donlands, you know, hop on a bus at Kennedy, get off at Eglinton and Farmbrook Road, and then get into my car. You know, I'd sit there and maybe I'd talk to you for a while, you know, and try and get my shit together, make sure I was okay for the little drive home, which was basically down one suburban winding road of a very short distance, a kilometer at most, with no traffic by the time I was driving there. But still, I was under the influence of alcohol, drugs, you know, marijuana. Probably still not a good thing to do. And if you got caught, oh man, you are fucked. You know you're safe. You know you're okay. You know you just have to aim that thing on the right side. You're not what drunk drivers are doing, racing, you know, at high speed and killing their friends and their wives. No, man, you just slow, careful drive. Anyway, I don't do that anymore. I time it so that I get my wife to drop me off at the parking lot. I get on that bus because I can't walk down there. I can't walk down to Eglinton to get the bus. Not now, anyway. So I get my wife to drive me or get on the number 9 Bellamy bus and get on the subway at Bellamy instead of Kennedy. And then coming home, hop off at Warden. Hop off at Warden. And the bus leaves on the half hour. So you got the 12. The 12:30, the 1. I caught the 12:30 tonight. I arrived just in time to get a little bit of a snack, you know, a little spinach dessert, a little beef patty, you know. And you enjoy that. It's become part of the routine. So the new routine is safer and better. I take the bus. There's no cars involved. It's me getting on TTC. And I get off at the top of my street and I walk down. And, of course, the first thing I get to is my road trek, the beast I'm sitting in now, talking to you. Now, I want to say one more thing. So where am I coming from? I'm coming from the Only Cafe. Yes, I told the wait staff, you know, who are ringing up the bill, I think I had 3 pints and 2 halves. They said, that sounds about right. And who knows? But I had plenty to drink. And, of course, I stepped outside for a few puffs on one of my medical marijuana joints. And when I came back in, rather than talk to the good friends I was sitting there, which is John Meadows and Brent Morris, also known as the Closet Geek, there's a lovely young woman sitting behind me. And I had a very, very pleasant, very enjoyable chat with her. Martha was her name, not Marcia, Martha. And I said, Martha, well, you know, we had this great conversation and, gave her my name, the Scarborough Dude. I gave her Ken, and then I said, also known as the Scarborough Dude. Oh, yeah? Let me check that. And she got her cell phone out, and she Googled, and she got the Scarborough part, need a little help with the dude part. I found it and said, oh, is this it, Dixon James? I said, that's the one. So before getting in and starting this recording, before getting in the van and starting this recording, I listened to, if she was to check out the Scarborough Dude and listen to the first podcast, it would have been the one called Communities. I think it's Dixon Chains number 592. Within 5 minutes, she's going to think, why the fuck would I listen to this guy? This is boring shit that's got no relation to anything going on in my life. I did a much better job when I talked to her. But the podcasts, the things I'm putting out, like this one, for example, although I'm just recording it now, you'll be getting this in a week or a few days, you know. And you might be asking yourself that same question, what the fuck am I doing listening to this shit? And really the question is not that. The question is, what the fuck am I doing recording this shit? Because sometimes you just need to do it. You just need to talk and get it out of you. And I just want to tell you, I had a great evening tonight at the Only Cafe with my good friends John Meadows, Brent Morris, and Rick Weiss. And we just had a good time. Drinking beer and talking. And me being the clown, I was showing off a lot. I mean, I was, you know, after I have a toke, I get a little out there. But these guys allow me to do it. These guys allow me to play the game. And that makes it fun and worthwhile. Thank you, boys. Yeah. Scarborough Dude. Recording when he shouldn't be recording, but putting in it, having enough sense to put an end to it. Bye. For now.
Everybody, you pull it to robbery!
And you fucking big moan! And I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you!
Out the bank, we got Steve outside, counting full pack, and everything's cool and everything's smooth.
Hey, that's smooth.
I walk into the teller, I give her the letter, she gives me the loot, with bucket up lips and a wink that I found cute. And I said, baby, 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 is there some karmic G love thing happening here, baby, or what? By that time, fast at me with the night, I said, it's time to blow, you know. So out the door we go, back to the ride, Steve inside and alive, and off the drive. See, I hurt my lower lumbar, you know we never get far, riding around in a stolen police car. So we dropped it off and piled in the caddy. Steve was driving, cause I had to talk to my man.
Because I don't know anything about any fucking setup. You can torture me all you want.
Torture you, that's a good idea. I like that one.
Running around, robbing banks, all whacked up with Scooby Snacks.
Standing up straight, so we pull these jobs, make a little money. No one gets hurt if they don't act funny. On the way to the yacht, we almost got caught. Fast shooting mailboxes, going where the cops is, yeah. They had the Dunkin' Donuts adjacent from the former juice mailbox. Fast had just exploded. They gave chase from our man Steve's and Ace, and we lost those brothers with haste. We cast it off, and along we went off Bermuda to an island resort we rented.
Son of a gun, need you cool. Are you cool?
Forgive the gnarly voice. I don't know. Just overusing it, maybe? I don't know. Teaching. Shouting in the bar Saturday night. That's for sure. God, that was fun. And here's the thing. I'm going to come out and say this. I was invited to a party that night, and it's a party I really enjoy. It's a once a year, it's a festive birthday Christmas party. And the host is a master chef. He's actually, I'm not going to say his name, but he's, people know him. He used to have a podcast. He's been on City TV. This guy knows what he's doing. Like, he's really good at it. But when you go to the party, I mean, that's the only person I know, him and, of course, his wife. That's the person I kind of want to talk to, but he's just too busy. He makes up, like, drink lists with maybe 6, 7, 8 specialties. Crazy names, crazy styles. And, of course, some people just come in and they want to go through the whole bar list. You know, I'm going to have one of each starting with this. I avoid them because I don't try not to drink hard alcohol at all. I haven't for 20 years. All right, 15 years. Well, I'll have my beer in my room, but he's always got a keg of beer going. But, man, draft beer from this big can, which is great. And, you know, you bring some of your own. Maybe you want to get into some wine. I've been known to nip out and have a toke. And now that I'm talking about it, I'm like, why the hell didn't I go? But I think it was there was a combination of, okay, to get there, you sure as hell can't drive. I sure can't bring my road truck and park it in his driveway. It's a quiet residential area. It's a hell of a job getting home. Well, I could just take a taxi, man. You can just call a cab and go home. Why don't you do that? I never do that. Like, I'm one of these people who, cab is just a last resort. Like, man, you got to take the local transit. Part of my frugal nature, I hate to say cheap, but maybe, it's not that I'm cheap, but I don't like spending that on me, you know? Oh my God. And yet, anyway, that doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous, yes. The more I talk it, the more I think, why the hell didn't I go? Well, the reason I didn't go was I also had an invite for the same night to go to the only cafe with John Meadows. And Ben Brent got included, and then Rick Rice got included. And we had a blast. I think the preceding clip was sort of me at the end of that night. But I felt very bad about telling this other friend, I don't think I'm going to go this year. And I don't know how I couched it. Part of it was, you know, he's just too busy to talk to. I don't have anything in depth with any of the other people there. So to be seeing the same people, having some of the same greetings, and you can have fun doing that and you eat his good food. But I think I'm at the point now, and maybe even more so after Bob's death, of, wow, whatever time you got, you want to use it well. And it isn't that I wouldn't enjoy the food or wouldn't enjoy his drinks, being in this nice warm house, festively decorated. But the in-depth conversations that I would have with John about topics maybe I can't even share with anybody else, the joking around with Brent and Rick, the getting crazy in a really hopped up crazy bar with some pretty good music that a DJ that last night, I weighed the two and I ended up going to the only. So my... Yeah, sorry. How many batteries ran out? I got a huge pack of AA Energizers. They don't seem to last very long. Used to. Maybe the machine gets older, they don't last as long, I don't know. Anyway, we're back. Where were we? Yeah, so I was apologizing to my dear friend. I don't know if he listens to this show anymore. I did say, listen, I'm really happy to get together with you personally while I'm one of for a beer on the Danforth and talk, which is really my reason for knowing him. Anyway, all right, let's park that. We're done. I was on the Anger Corps last night. Mm-hmm. Just listen to it. I'm not going to go into it, but I will say it was kind of fun, and I think I held up my own end on it. That's Jason. Jason with an O. No, Jason with an E. Jason with an O couldn't be on. That's why I got a last-minute spot. Thanks, Brent. Closet geek. I've been on a roll lately. Like, I'm caught up in all my marking, like with returning things. I've got everything prepared except the very last assignment, which is going to be an easy one. I already know what I'm going to do. I put the Christmas light up Saturday morning after doing two loads of laundry. They don't look very good, but they always look better when they I just circle them around the two big bushes in front of our house. And when the bushes get covered in snow, they look nice. But otherwise, it just looks pretty chintzy and cheap. But yeah, I've been doing a lot. Saw my artery specialist today. I thought he was my heart doctor. No, I just do the arteries. I just do the pipes, you know. I go back to see him in another year. Everything's fine. No changes. Everything looks okay. But I did tell him about my friend Bob passing and how I'm glad that I'm staying on top of my doctor's appointments. And he's saying, yeah, well, you got a heart history. You maybe want to ask your family doctor to see a specialist just once in a while. So I will do that. I got my year-end filing to do for my Canadian study tours, and it's going to be a mess this year because I took all this money out and bought the road track, which I'm going to have to put back in somehow, or claim it anyway. But that can go into the 2017 year, so I'm okay. But there's just an awful lot of paperwork to do for that, like the, you know, the statements you've got to fill out. And anyway, I have an accountant do it all, but I'm going to get that done in time. I got till December 30th. That'll be done. Overall positive, except for this limpy leg and now my voice that just sounds like hell. I hope that's not permanent. I don't think so. Anyway, God, it makes it for a boring podcast, doesn't it? If I'm just on top of things and not miserable. I did have things to talk about. And I'll get into this one a little bit. There are some listeners to this show who, not many, a few, who have also subscribed to the Dixon Jane zine, which is no more. I sent out the last one as a PDF file. Now, I did print off 5 copies. The idea was, hey, I'm just not going to put out all this money on the postage and printing. It's crazy. I'd be in the hole a few $100 every year for doing this. On top of all the extra time involved, and having to nag people, yeah, no. So I did put out a final one, maybe, probably, volume 21, number 1, in PDF format. But, you know, Barnacle Bill was, yeah, all right, gave it away. He was the guy who insisted to print copy or nothing. So I did go out. I had the time and did it myself instead of ordering it. I was able to go to the printer and actually figure it out and do a really nice job with staples down the middle. Maybe I already mentioned this. And I hauled it out while I was waiting in the doctor's office today. And it was really fun to read. It is so much nicer in print. So I'm telling you, if you did get a PDF version and you do listen to this, print yourself off a copy, staple it together, you know, try and do it back to back. If not, whatever. It's just better reading it. It really is. Holding it in your hands. So how does that fit in? So one of the failures of the Dixon Jane zine was that there's an original core of friends, mostly from Montreal, who, after graduation from university, moved out to Vancouver to start a new life, away from her family, away, and just a break from the past and, you know, explore unexplored territory for us anyway. Just have fun, party, go crazy, and just be free. And it really was the early 70s. It was wild and crazy, and we did live and have fun in a wild and crazy time. And once we got out there, there were patches between there was. A connection between one of our Lachine friends who'd grown up out there and who introduced us to the Vancouver crew, and through them a couple of others, and the tribes sort of melded, became one, and it was kind of neat. And we did things like everybody got into the rock, and there was a Mother's Day camping weekend drunk, it used to be called. We dropped the drunk word because mothers started coming and kids, and it was less of a chance to get shit-faced and more of a chance just to sit around a campfire, communally and have a nice time. And that went on for well over 20, Barnacle Bill will know, 25 years. And it just, at the end, it was down to just a couple of people, because often the weather was iffy. And the thing is, it needed new blood, but part of the original core was not all that open to new blood. So I'm thinking of somebody like a perfect fit to me would have been Adam Greatrix. Now, Adam was introduced, and we spent a night out drinking, and not just Adam, but the other guy with the same name living out west, who does a podcast, Shane, thank you, sorry. And we did meet up, and I know my other good friends, who I stay with when I get out there, met up, but there was no real connection. And in the Dixon Jane zine, I talked about how it's only in real life situations, like a party together, a weekend camping together, really spending a lot of time to seal a friendship somehow. And I think it gets more and more difficult as you get older to do that. And so it's never happened. So there's this gap between the original core of the Dixon Jane's readers and then the friends Ken has picked up along the way. And people that see them, well, those are Ken's friends or Ken's internet friends or this other group. And I understand it. I get it. It's a very hard thing. And yet it's what I was sort of aiming for. Well, these are good people. These are good people. And when you know in real life that you're going to have three friends and two of them will get along and the other, somebody else is a combination where somebody's just not going to get along and doesn't want to see that person. That's just invariably happens for whatever reasons. And you can get along with all of them, but somehow something doesn't mix right in one combination. And hey, that's just a reality and that's fine. Yeah, and you don't even bother to try and fix it. There's no point. There's just maybe no common ground for those two. Well, I sort of fear the same thing could happen within the Canadian podcasting community. Because a lot of the times when we do get together, we talk about our histories, the old history. And it goes all the way down to that first podcamp, first pab in Kingston. And there's been a song sung about it, which I won't play here. And those who were there. And then there are those who came later. And still those who came later still. And there's always going to be that, the layers. And what you want is to find that common ground. Say, yeah, but hey, doesn't matter when you got plugged in. We're all kind of on the same wavelength, are we not? Are we not sort of trying to celebrate the same thing? Are we not really together just in this thing we do? And maybe that's not necessary to the case. I'm thinking specifically of this Bob. I had it the first time, but I tried to correct myself. The Bob Mob Hobnob, as it's been called, reunion boat cruise, which a lot of the people who were at the very first PAB gathering we'll come back for it. I think quite a few people will come back for. And it could be fun. It needs more. It can't just be a boat cruise to the old people. Who the hell's going to travel to Kingston for a two-hour boat cruise only? It has to be so much more. It has to be live podcasting. It has to be bar gatherings, dinners together. It has to be a gathering, a blending, a reshuffling of the deck. It's got to be all those things. But will it be? There's other things going on that people might choose to go to instead of this thing in May in Kingston. where you have to fork out money for a hotel and a boat cruise and all the other expenses for just getting there. There's the PodCamp Toronto that may happen. It's not definite yet. The organizer, hey, there's somebody sort of within this circle, but on the fringes as well, by choice, I think. Picard 102, as he sometimes goes by. Part of the former Keith McNally tribe, who is a key organizer. Rick Weiss, who was an organizer, who was the guy we were out drinking with Saturday night. These are people who could put it together, but who aren't getting a lot of extra help and support and people willing to step up and join in and do a lot of the grunt work that's involved. Because there is a lot to pull off an event that big. So whether or not it will happen, I think really depends on if anybody else is going to come forward and offer to help. I'm sort of thinking I should, because, I mean, all I want out of the whole damn thing is a party. And the party, well, you need a certain number of people to get together for that. But I'm thinking like they used to do in Japan, where you get a brewery to sponsor or some company to sponsor and pay for, you know, a few, say several, cases of beer or draft beer. And if there's a microbrewer that said, hey, we got something new, we'd love to sponsor this social media event, that would be great, so that you wouldn't have to sell it, because probably there's a rule at Ryerson you can't sell alcohol on the premises. But if everybody paid $10, $15, $20 to go to PodCamp Toronto, and some of that money went towards covering the bar bill at the Ram and the Rye, or the Rye and the Ram, or whatever the bar is, and back to the brewing sponsor, so that on the Friday night, before everybody heads off for dinner, does it even start Friday night, or does it just start Saturday morning? No, I guess Saturday. So the Saturday afternoon before the end of the last session on Saturday, everybody gets together and for a can or two of beer. That's how we celebrated the JALT conferences, Japanese Association of Language Teachers. It was called a one-can drink party. And man, that was fun. And that was a great kickoff. And of course, you stand beside people who don't, you plan your space, so you're standing near people that don't look like they're going to drink, and you're going to snatch their cans. And, well, sorry, that didn't sound right. Anyway, so whether that'll happen. And then, of course, there's the third event, which is Anthony Markle's event in Hamilton, the Marshall McLuhan Podcaster Roundtable, now without Bob. And whether or not that might take place in July. So you've got May, you got February for PodCamp, you got end of May for the PAB reunion, let's call it that. And then you got the Marshall McLuhan gathering in July. Quite a few people, except for those of us who live locally, will not be able to make it to all three. Where will people invest their time? What overlap will there be? I just put that out there. I don't have an answer. Although I will just repeat that for sure, for the PAB gathering in Kingston to be successful, it needs someone to organize a live afternoon podcasting event in a bar, as has been done very successfully at the Marshall McLuhan Podcaster Roundtables. Because that just brings a lot of people together and it's a lot of fun. And you have to bring in new people. It just cannot be just the old people getting by like a high school reunion. You got to get some new folks coming in who want to learn from the masters. All right, I guess that's enough. That's almost a topic. Eh? It's almost focused. I think I'll stop there. Go inside. It's cold. I'm sitting in this van. I haven't started it up. I think I will start this baby up. Now, did I need my foot on the brake to start it, or can I just put the key in the ignition? No, she fires right up. Yeah. So, this is the Scarborough Dude signing off. Back at you real soon. And here's a tune. One more thing. Tuned in CBC Radio 2 today, just at exactly the right time to hear the Jerry Cans. I've mentioned them many times on this show. I've played on this show. I've played their music. Brian, you all know Brian Nunavut. Brian, his son, his middle son, is the bass player in the band. They've just put out their third album, started a record company up in Nunavut. Doing very well. I've seen them several times in concert now. They are a great band. They sing in the Nuktitut. And it was great to hear them interviewed on Q this morning. So there you go. Here's a local success story of, you know, my good buddy, my Brian, my buddy from Nigeria. Buddy of over 35 years now, drinking buddy, who just got back from somewhere out west in British Columbia after a tour of Eastern Europe with his girlfriend and then on his own, and is now flying up to Iqaluit. So pretty hard to keep track of Brian, but he's a good buddy and a good friend, and I just thought I'd throw in that plug for his son, the Jerry Cans. Check them out. Bye for now.
Taste money alo, kangata suku bimbi lauk tunga, yaga yao lauk tu, itirvi kuluka, apiri yao lauk tunga, na kinga mangangma, kiu lauk tunga, ima. Namole maxima bunga, namole maxima bunga, aula kata ramba, namole maxima bunga. Aula katak tunga, namole mak mabunga. Panjang tu mesti mata lek, ngau yak kangen lek. Kalau tu dia kum luk tu, ik luk lek, ik biak tu. Ak dia dia kalau ik kangen tu gapi. Namole mak mabunga, namole mak mabunga. Aula katak rama, namole mak mabunga. Aula katak tunga, namole mak mabunga. Aja.
Ew. Check, check. Damn, my Beatles poster's all warped. Yeah, so I'm in the basement. You may hear the furnace in the background. Sorry. I was supposed to be down here about 8:30 a.m. to do my exercises. I try to do them every day, but, I get them done at least 4 days a week. I mean, that's not bad considering it's up from zero. But it's now 1 o'clock, 8:30 came and went, and I just got sidetracked with so many things. I mean, I was working in the time, I was marking student papers, but, let me go back a little. I was at an Elements meeting last night. This is the church, West Hill United, I've talked about on this podcast many times. And, of course, Greta was there, the star of the show. And at the end, I guess I brought up a few ideas. You know, I'm a little hesitant. I insisted if I'm going to be on this committee, I get to play a song at the start of every meeting. We only meet a few times a year. And so last night I played Awake My Soul by Mumford & Sons. And it went over well. I mean, everybody thought, wow, what a great tune. This is wonderful. And I explained the reason I did this is because so many young people listen to a song, they go up to, you know, where the lyrics are posted, and then the comments. And a lot of people do a real thoughtful analysis. If you ever Google, you know, lyrics and meaning, you'll find a lot of great stuff. And people, you know, vote up their favorites or may have a different opinion altogether and so on. But it's not the usual stupid baiting and fighting, you know, worst song ever. It's always the good stuff rises to the top. And I said, that's the kind of thing that appeals to young people, the people who are not coming to church, you know, music. And then there still is desire to share, to put out into the community what you think the meaning is and what it meant to you personally. It's all good stuff. Anyway, that was my little speech at the beginning. And at the end of the service, Greta said, well, Ken, we'll have to talk. Maybe you can do part of a service one time where you introduce a song and get people talking about it. And immediately I sort of, whoa, because I've been thinking come January, I don't know how often I'm going to be around. You know, once I give up my teaching position, I'm sort of free. The road track is sitting there. And I sort of explained, I mean, I said that. I said, I got a road track sitting in the garage just waiting to go somewhere. I really don't know what's going to happen, how things are going to unfold. And I was a bit confused. It was a very nice exchange. I mean, Greta really is a wonderful person, and she's just, bam, alive and interesting and engaging. So anyway, I kind of left it at that. I can't make any commitments because I just don't know what the future holds. And, you know, to commit to something, even to being on a committee when you may not be around, is just not right, not fair. So anyway, park that. This morning I got an email in offering another position for two classes for the winter session. Now, I had already answered and said, no, I'm not coming back. I've already gone to the human resources and said, could you start, you know, putting my pension into action as soon as possible, as soon as I finish, end of December. And then this thing came in, you know, and it was for two COM 140 classes. Well, that's the same, sort of the same level I'm at now, except they're not ESL. They may be, except they've been in Canada a very long time, or they're native speakers, and their English is just, you know, not quite up to Ontario high school standards, such as they are. So it kind of threw me for a loop. Whoa, is this a sign? I've turned them down, and yet I've been offered two classes. Gee, two classes, you know. I'd make money like I am now. Maybe another $6,000 or so. I certainly could use the money, especially if I want to travel and, you know, 2 days a week, I can handle that. But, okay, it means no long trips, no going to Florida in January like I'd planned. Oh, man. And it just threw this whole thing into confusion, I guess. Like, how do you make a decision? I'd already made up my decision. But I think it was not an easy decision for me to make, to not return. When you've got a job offer and there's money, and I know I won't pick up another job that pays, you know, 80, 85 bucks an hour, even though it's only a few hours a week and I work many more than that, it's a decent, you know, way to make a living. It's to get by. Not if you're young and raising a family and need a full-time job. I'm just saying, in my position, it's been a great, great job. So what the hell to do? And how do you make the decisions? And what signs do you look for? Maybe this is just saying, hey, you were confused last night when you talked to Greta. If you stick around, well, you've just got the time to stay here with your family. You don't have to be disappearing all the time. You could do another winter. You'll take off during the spring. You finish at the end of April, right after your birthday. Then you're free to go. And suddenly it starts looking like, yeah, I better take this job offer. Then I can go back to the church, commit a little bit, and this and that. So I'm wrestling with this. I thought you said you're not going back and you're done and you've had enough. And then, you know, well, yeah, but I mean, is there a right or wrong answer? Or is it just a choice you have to make in life, like so many others? So I struggle. There's only one thing to do then. Find out, okay, check out these classes. Where are they? And it takes me quite a while to navigate through my centennial, e-centennial to, you know, track down. Okay, I got the classes. I got the class numbers. What's the schedule? Where are they? Well, great. I find one. It is 11:30. No, 12:30. To 3:20 on a Friday afternoon. Well, okay, you're done by 3:30. You're done Friday afternoon. That's okay. Yeah, I can handle that. You're in A block. Oh, my God. This is the one place I didn't want to be. Our office and our computer and our copy center and our English department is in E block. A block is five buildings away. And for me, with my foot the way it is, that is one fuck of a long walk. You don't want to be forgetting something. You don't want to be going back and forth at all. Okay. I got to find the other class. So, all right, 12:30 Friday. This year I had Wednesday, Friday. Okay, I got it out. 12:30 to 3:20. Check the next one out. 8:30 a.m. to 11:20 a.m. Friday morning. A block. Whoa. Back to back, two classes on a Friday, 6 hours teaching. Like, I am done by 3 hours. And I just don't have any more to give. Same class, but back to back, like an hour less than an hour off in between. No time to go back and get some lunch, you're sitting, because, you know, who can make that walk back and forth? Shit. Okay, that could be a deal breaker. Now, of course, they always say, you know, these aren't final. There might be changes in schedules and so on. And I could possibly request a different day because I notice when I go online, who else is teaching? They've only put the names of the full-time teachers and myself and maybe one or two others. And there's about a dozen classes to be announced. No, nobody's assigned to them. Well, I'm thinking, well, that's kind of a good thing that my name is up there, that I'm still, you know, getting favorable ratings or, you know, nobody's had any complaints. God damn, man. But back to back, no way, no way. So, do I go back and say, can you change this? And then, am I interfering with this whole thing? Why would I go back and struggle to get a better schedule when I've already said, no, I'm not going back? So I'm really, really confused now, man. sure my wife would be happy. I'd be home to, you know, help out in the winter with all the snow. And, you know, do I really want to be just getting in this road trip, driving south for a couple of weeks, coming back in the middle of winter, going back and forth? I can't afford to, like, surely I'm not going to stay away for 3 months. As appealing as that may sound. Damn. So I don't know. And I got till tomorrow to decide. It's just like buying this road trek. I'll give you 24 hours, you know. Let us know tomorrow. Shit. So, what do I do? Well, I'll just, okay, I'm on my computer now. I'm on the website. I got some more marking to do of a take-home exam I gave my students. I gave them a take-home. Use your computer. Make sure, you know, check for spelling, punctuation. Just write a paragraph. All I want to see is a topic sentence, 3 points in support of your topic sentence, 3 examples to go with each point or explanations, and a concluding sentence. That's all you have to do. 10 to 12 sentences. On your own at home. Well, I get a couple that are absolutely perfect. I think, okay, well, you've just somewhat copied. I mean, the student used the word thus. Nobody uses thus. Well, the student claims she does. Okay, so maybe it's plagiarized, but... And there's a sentence that I couldn't have written myself. It is just so perfect. Well, I could have written, but I mean, it just, it stood out like, whoa. What do I do? Oh, Jesus. And then there's another one on a topic. It's not a, just obviously lifted from a text. Oh, come on. I'm getting pissed. So I read about 4 more, and they are disappointing. They are like, one person capitalizes the first letter of every line, not the first letter of each sentence, first letter of each line. Well, how the hell did you get into this college-level English program if you think the first level of every line gets capitalized? Okay, and then forget commas or periods or anything else. The whole course is on joining sentences, making compound and complex sentences out of simple sentences or dependent clauses. We've taught that. We've spent, you know, 3 months on that. Whoa! People aren't doing that at all. God. And I'm reading some others, and you know, and they're just, they were crappy. I'm like, you haven't listened to anything I've taught. They're saying, oh, I'm a great teacher. They really love it. They understand me, but not even trying. And that, I think, is the tipping point for me. Fuck it. Like, as I'm sitting there correcting these stupid mistakes that are unnecessary, especially when it's a take-home, why am I bothering? Why am I investing? Why am I going to spend my winter, next winter, teaching, battling with students? Because there's going to be battling, especially with the native speakers are much worse than the ESL, who at least, especially students from India, try to be respectful. Anybody Canadian or been here long enough, respect goes out the window, man. So I think marking these shitty little papers that put so little effort into an assignment that I gave them as a, here's a way to boost up your mark, may be the deciding factor, may be the tipping point, may be what's going to make me say, fuck it. No, fuck. I don't care I got that offer. Number one, I'm not working 6 hours in one day. It's ridiculous. But number two, why am I going to bother to teach? What difference does it make? What else could I be doing if I'm not teaching? What adventures might I have? And there's a part of me, I was trying to tell Greta, that's just sort of seeing, there's the open road ahead of me. There's a future, an unexplored future ahead of me. And I think now is the time to take it. Not to go back for one more paycheck of, you know, or series of paychecks. Great. Also, I mean, all the bitching I've done about the college. I mean, the salary went from, you know, at one point you're getting $120 an hour or something. And again, you're putting in more work than those hours you're paid for. But still, down to 80 when they equalize things. And before that, even a much better contract. So come on, come on. What happens when I don't teach it? Somebody else is going to get those classes. How is that going to affect that person's life? Like, my decision now to take or not to take is actually directly going to impact another person's life in a big, in every way. In every way. I mean, the ripples, you know, hey. Suddenly that person is going to be teaching Fridays. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. Some of the, it may seem, well, I don't know what it seems. It just, yeah, it's more Ken ranting and raving away. But it's sometimes the struggle of not having a set maze you have to run. And I've spent a lot of my life making sure I didn't get stuck in a maze or in this treadmill or whatever you want to call it, so that I could be free to do what I want to do. And I've always celebrated those things. And I look back at my life, everything that I've done that's sort of broken the pattern, that's gone my own way, I celebrate. I cheer on. I'm grateful for. And now here it is as a path in front of me. More money. Dangling that carrot, boy. Come on. You can do it. Just one more turn. 4 months, January to the end of April. You can do that. You get that money. Or come January, when you got nothing you really have to be doing that can't be done by email and on the road anyway, and you got this big beast of a road trip sitting in your driveway, and you can just head south to Florida. The Florida Keys. Key Largo. Wow. On my own. Leaving behind my wife, my cat, my son, my house, my cozy little home. I just don't know. And if you are a subscriber to the Dixon Jane's podcast, you will know the answers, because I will be still podcasting come January when all these decisions are put in motion. So there you go. I guess maybe that's almost the end of this podcast. I got to go do my exercise. I got to put on, clamp on my 2.5 pound weights around my ankles and start lifting my feet and doing stuff. I have not yet gone for my leg brace, which the doctor insists I need. There was just a bit of a miscommunication. Anyway, there's always stuff to do, right? You know that. I know that. Scarborough Dude, signing off.
Darkness at the break of noon, shadows even the silver spoon, a handmade blade, the child's balloon, eclipses both the sun and moon. To understand, you know too soon, there's no sense in trying. Pointed threats, they bluff with scorn. Suicide remarks are torn from the fool's gold mouthpiece. The hollow horn plays wasted words, proves to warn that he not busy being born is busy dying. Temptation's page flies out the door. You follow, find yourself at war. Watch waterfalls of pity roar. You feel to moan, but unlike before, you discover that you just be one more person crying. So don't fear if you hear a foreign sound to your ear. It's all right, Ma, I'm only sighing. as some worn victory, some downfall. Private reasons, great or small, can be seen in the eyes of those that call to make all that should be killed to crawl. While others say don't hate nothing at all except hatred. Disillusion words like bullets bark as human gods aim for their mark. Make everything from toy guns that spark to flesh-colored Christs that glow in the dark. It's easy to see without looking too far that not much is really sacred. Our preachers preach of evil fates. Teachers teach that knowledge waits, can lead to $100 plates. Goodness hides behind its gates, but even the president of the United States sometimes must have to stand naked. And though the rules of the road have been lodged, it's only people's games that you got to dodge. And it's all right, Ma, I can make it. Advertising signs, they con you into thinking you're the one that can do what's never been done, that can win what's never been won. Meantime, life outside goes on all around you. You lose yourself, you reappear. You suddenly find you got nothing to fear. Alone you stand with nobody near. When a trembling distant voice unclear startles your sleeping ears to hear that somebody thinks they really found you. A question in your nerves is lit, yet you know there is no answer fit to satisfy. Ensure you not to quit, to keep it in your mind and not forget that it is not he or she or them or it that you belong to. But though the masters make the rules for the wise men and the fools, I got nothing, Ma, to live up to. For them that must obey authority that they do not respect in any degree, who despise their jobs, their destiny, speak jealously of them that are free, do what they do just to be nothing more than something they invest in. While some on principles baptized to strict party platform ties, social clubs in drag disguise, outsiders they can freely criticize, tell nothing except who to idolize and say God bless him. While one who sings with his tongue on fire gargles in the rat race choir, bent out of shape from society's pliers, cares not to come up any higher, but rather get you down in the hole that he's in. But I mean no harm, nor put fault on anyone that lives in a vault. But it's all right, Ma, if I can't please him. Old lady judges watch people in pairs, limited in sex they dare, to push fake morals, insult and stare. While money doesn't talk, it swears. Obscenity, who really cares? Propaganda, all is phony. While them that defend what they cannot see with a killer's pride, security, it blows their minds most bitterly. For them that think death's honesty won't fall upon them naturally, life sometimes must get lonely. collide head on with stuffed graveyards, false goals. I scuff at pettiness, which plays so rough. Walk upside down inside handcuffs, kick my legs to crash it off. Say, okay, I've had enough. What else can you show me? And if my thought dreams could be seen, they'd probably put my head in a guillotine. But it's all right, Ma, it's life and life only.